Oh, here we are with It's a Generous Life. And as Ben has said, this one is about giving our best when serving others. And this passage is actually in my Bible called Love in Action. And this is, we're going to have a lot of translations this morning. This is the NIV translation. And it says this, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervour. Serve the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people. Practice hospitality. How do you feel about that list? I feel exhausted. And this is my journey with this passage this morning. So I got this passage and I was like, whoa, that's a lot of instructions. And as I read that, I just thought, that's just a whole heap of things I got to do. And I'm a doer. I'm quite good at doing things. So I could actually look at that list and go, okay, going to grit my teeth, going to tick the things off the list to be a good Christian. But there's a bit of a killer blow with this passage, and that's the way it starts, which is love must be sincere. So I was like, okay, so I can't even grit my teeth, do it, even though I don't really want to do it. And I thought back to some years ago when Jordan, my eldest, was young and I was a very harassed young mum and people kept asking me to do things and I kept saying yes through gritted teeth and doing those things with a bit of a bad attitude. And at that point, I really felt the Holy Spirit say to me, do you know, Kerry, when you say yes with your mouth and your heart says no, actually I see the no more than I see the yes. Love must be sincere. So I'm stuck, aren't I? I've got a list. I've got to be sincere. I don't feel like doing it. So as I get a passage like this and I begin to wrestle with it, my question is always, what's God's heart for me in this passage? So what's God's heart for us in this passage? How does God want me to live? Does he want me to struggle with trying to keep a set of instructions, a set of rules? To me, that all sounds a bit like what we read about in the Old Testament, with the law, with the Israelites, trying to keep this set of laws. And it was the law that governed them, not a relationship with God. And we know, we've just been singing, how Jesus opened up the way for us to know God as a loving Father. And we know that we can live in an open and free relationship with him. We're filled with his Holy Spirit. Every one of us here who's invited Jesus into our lives, you have the Spirit of God in you. That transforms us from the inside out. We're empowered by him to live lives that change the world around us. And the best thing of all is that it's his great delight to walk with us every day. 1 John 1 says this, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. I love that word, lavished his love on us. So it's that love that we receive from him that flows through us and out to others and is the key in living out this passage. So this passage here, I put some colours on it. Oh, just about, you can see. Look how it's written. In the pink are the things that we've got to do, we're supposed to do, in living outward. But right in the middle there, in the light blue, is about our relationship with God. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And that relationship with God in the centre of how living out for others is the source of who we are. That's our identity as his children. That's how we're transformed, to have sincere love. That's what our purpose is, That's what our lives are about, being centered on him, in relationship with him. And when we can realize how much God loves us with this extravagant, irresistible, unconditional love, then that changes our whole focus on life. If we're loved and we know we're loved, we don't have a hard time loving other people. And so the rest of that actually becomes quite easy. The sincere love. Now, when I'm wrestling with a passage, when I can't find life in it for me, so when I read that in the NIV, I was like, okay, then I've got to talk on this. What I do then is I go and I look at other translations. Ben mentioned that. I'll get all different translations of the Bible and I'll have a look at them. And the one I went to for this was the Passion Translation that I absolutely love, that you can get in Quench Bookshop. And this is what the Passion Translation says. So this verse here, that blue bit, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Still a bit scary to me, that verse. This is what he says in the Passion Translation. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. I like that. Does that sound a bit better? I can get my heart around that. I can get that, that this is about having a passion for Jesus that's hot. It's about allowing that Holy Spirit that lives within you to radiate outwards, to be alive within me. It's about letting God fill me with excitement, with hope, and with joy. Now, that's a lot better than a set of instructions, isn't it? Yep. And that's how God wants us to live. And as that is happening in us, then we can love one another sincerely. 1 John 4 says, we love because he first loved us. And that's what that's about. As that happens in us, we love. We love. It spills out of us. We need to make space in our lives to allow God to love us and for us to connect with him. So that's what all of this has been about. Our jar and our jug, and just because I like doing it and I haven't spilt any yet, this is what it's about. It's about us being filled, yeah? The jar and the jug, letting God fill us day by day with his love. And that's why, since the beginning of the year, we've been talking refresh. That's why we've been encouraging us all to become intentional about connecting with God through the Bible, through prayer, through times of silence, stillness with God. It's about giving him space in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, in our diaries. Space to be refreshed. It is not about giving you another list of things to do. So at no point am I standing here saying, you must read your Bible because a good Christian does. I'm going, people, God wants to fill you with his love. Connect with him. That's one of the ways he can do it. So give it a go. Pray, like Andy was saying. That's one of the ways you can connect. He can fill you. He can reach you. Give him some space. But let's just go back to that bit. And it says at the end there, in pink, commune with God at all times. Now, that can be quite tough, can't it? Commune with God at all times. That makes me think monks and nuns, not me in my ordinary everyday life. There's a writer called Greg Boyd, and I've grown to love the stuff he writes. And he says this, we long to be transformed, yet our minds are filled with endless trivia and self-centered chatter. to-do lists, worries about the past, speculation about the future. We forget to live in the present moment and invite God to be with us there. All of that stuff in our minds is like a dark cloud that blocks out the sun and just prevents us from seeing the love of God that surrounds each and every one of us every second of every day. He's written a book that Simon's mentioned called Present Perfect. I really recommend this book. It's really good. And the premise of this book is about being awake to Jesus as often as possible during a day. I'm asleep to him most of the time. I don't know about you, but being awake to him, a little bit like those of you who may have heard of Brother Lawrence practicing the presence of God. It's a bit like that. And I love this. I'll just share with you. So what he basically says is that now is where God lives. Okay? God calls himself the great I am. Not the great I was or the great I will be. He's the great I am. Our past has gone. The future hasn't happened yet. We live in the present. And this present moment is what's real to us, most real to us. And God's in it. Jesus is in this present moment with you now. He's alive in it. He's active in it. And he wants to relate to you in this present moment. And so becoming aware of him in this present moment is the single most important thing we can do. Because what that does is connects us with his love, and it roots us in that love, minute by minute. And it is true that what we focus on influences us. We know that, don't we, from all the psychological studies, young people who focus on violence and horrible video games and pornography or whatever, those sorts of things become manifest in their life. We know. If we, with a really negative person, you come out like that, don't you? What we focus on influences us. And it's actually what we give power to in our lives. And what we focus on determines what we experience in any given moment. So, is our focus on Jesus? Are we awake to him? Are we aware of him surrounding us each moment? And he says to ask yourself this question as you go through the day. Am I awake? Am I awake? So we can do that right now. Are you awake? You are awake on one level, but are you spiritually awake? Are you awake to the presence of Jesus? So just become aware of God's presence all around you now. You don't have to feel anything. Just be mindful. God's presence is all around you now. He's closer to you than the air you're breathing. You are now, in this very moment, surrounded by his love. Right now. It's a fact. Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you just keep doing that. And believe me, you forget all day long. And then I go, oh, am I awake? And in those moments, he encourages you, don't go, oh, got it wrong again. There you go. There's another 50% of my day not being awake. Just go, thank you for the reminder. Because if you dwell in that, you're dwelling in the past. And that's gone. We're in this present moment. Thank you, Lord. Am I awake? I'm aware of your love. Thank you. And you will find you become more and more and more aware. And that's communing with God at all times. And the interesting thing is, I don't want to depress you, But when you gave your life to Jesus, what we do is we say, I surrender my life to you. And we mean that, don't we? But we can actually only say that for the moment we're in. And actually, largely, we say in that moment, I surrender my life to you, with great intentions for all the other moments of our lives, but most of them we don't surrender because we're charging off, doing our thing, and actually surrendering is being aware of him, being aware of his love, being aware in the moment. And that's fine. You don't mind that. That's okay. But we can live in this whole different way of being awake to him. And as I've learned to do this, and I'm still learning, and I'm probably on about 95% not awake, 5% awake, but as I've learned to do this, I've found I just become so much more aware of Jesus, so much calmer. It silences that endless chatter. Do you have endless chatter in your head? I have a lot of chatter going on in my head all the time. All the women are nodding, all the men are going, what are they talking about? It silences that. It really does, because you're just in that moment. I'm aware of Jesus. And that doesn't mean we ignore our future or whatever. Obviously, we don't. But you know what I mean, that chewing stuff over. And actually, we just become transformed. So as I said, what we focus on influences us. So that love of Jesus is influencing us every time we're making sure we're awake to him. And if you think about it, when you sit in the sun, you get a suntan. So, if you sit in the presence of God, if you're aware of him, you radiate him. His love, radiate the Holy Spirit. That's what that verse said. Do you remember? Always makes me think of Moses shining when he came out of the presence of God. So, out of that communion with God, that awareness of how much we're loved, that awareness of God's love for us and in us and over us and around us, we can then be devoted to tenderly loving one another, fellow believers as members of one family. And it goes on to say, honour one another above yourselves. I don't know if I mentioned, but this passage in the NIV version is called Love in Action. In this Passion Translation, it's called Transformed Relationships. Our relationships are transformed, our relationship with God, with Jesus, and our relationship with one another. And do you know what? We can be devoted to one another when we know that we're loved. I think, I know for me, a lot of the reason why I might not be devoted and lay myself down to others is that somehow you're trying to shore up your own sense of self-worth and your own insecurity. But actually, we can lay that down and love one another. Is it just another good Christian box to tick? Good behavior? We've got to do this. No, I just really want to encourage you that, guys, we need to do this. Because we are a church family. We're a God-given family put together. And we need to look out for each other. What we have here is a precious gift from God. And I don't know about you, but I want to treasure God's gifts. He sets us in family. And it's a blessing. It's to be a blessing. It's to be an encouragement. And I think I said when I led the meeting a few weeks ago that when I came back after that time with my dad, and it was the first Sunday, and people said, oh, you know, don't go. You know, it'll be a bit much seeing the people. I wanted to be here because you are my family. You're my church family. Where else would I want to go but be here with you? Because I know that you'll tenderly love me, as I want to do with you, as we need to do with one another. We do need each other. So let's value this church family. And as we do that, we are honouring God. We're pleasing him. We're showing that love in action, that sincere love, those transformed relationships. He loves to see us do that. But you know what we're also doing? We're overcoming the enemy who wants us to live selfish lives. He wants us to be divided from one another. But when we serve one another, when we love one another, we're being like Jesus And that rattles his cage. And I want to do that because I don't want him to see that he's won. Because he hasn't. God set us in this family and we can overcome him and the selfishness he wants us to live in as we do this. And we're bringing in the kingdom of God because we're letting love be the thing that rules in this church family. Love, not competition, not offences, not jealousies, not aggravations, not distance, but love. At the end there, honour one another above yourselves. Honour acknowledges the priceless value that God ascribes to every person in this room. So I need to honour you because you're of priceless value. Jesus died for you. That's how much you were worth. I need to honour that. And you know what? The Bible says that honour releases life. And I want to release life over you. And I want you to release life over me. And if we release life over one another, there's no stopping us. So honour one another above yourselves. Back at the end of 2016, Audrey Skip, who was a part of our congregational tour recently, came to me with a prophetic word for 2017. And Audrey quite frequently came with words from God, and we weighed them and used them regularly. She was the Be Seen in 2016. And she came at the end of 2017 with this word that I read, and I thought, yeah, and I just popped it away and thought, at the right time, that will come up. And as I was writing this talk, I fished it out. And this was Audrey's prophetic word, a word that she felt God was giving us. This is part of it for 2017. And it was this. Close ranks in 2017. Be there for one another as a close-knit family. Remember, I am a generational God. I desire my family to be one in heart and mind. Cold winds can then be withstood. And that was one of those ooh moments when I read that and thought, crikey, that is exactly what this is about. And that's what God's saying. Come on, be there for one another as a close-knit family. The power of Jesus' love is immense. I shared just before I started the talk at the end of the worship about my sort of face-to-face experience with that. What power we unleash when we love. When we love God and we love one another. That love that defeated death. That love that rose from the grave, that love is the power that you and I can unleash as we love. So, let's love God. Let's allow him to love us. Let's give him space to do that in prayer, in Bible reading, in time, in communing with him at all times, in being awake to Jesus. Let's love one another in this family. Let's be devoted to one another. Let's honour one another. And none of that, where we started, is a list of instructions. I hope you see that by now. That's about our lives being filled with God's love and being spilled out for one another and the world out there. And that is giving our best to one another. That's love in action. That is transformed relationships. Now, next week, we conclude our Generous Life series with Rachel Smith. She'll be here. And her topic is giving our best when it hurts. And don't be frightened. It's a good theme to lead into Holy Week because it's all about forgiveness and about us finding freedom. And actually, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. And that is what we will be celebrating on Easter Sunday with amazing love. Find out how this amazing love can change your life forever. Your neighbours, your friends, your families, the postman, the lady in the shop, they need to know this amazing love that we live in and we've got for free. So why don't you pick up some of these from the welcome desk on the way out, stick them through letterboxes, leave them with cashiers in supermarkets, whatever, and invite people along to experience for themselves how this amazing love can change their life forever. Thank you.